Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Terrible, and it wasn't terrible. I wish we had played the record instead. That's supposed to be Taylor Swift at Gillette Stadium, the big stadium in Foxborough, about 30 miles outside of Boston, where they play the Patriot games. Big NFL stadium. It seats about 50,000 for football, 60,000 the way they had it configured for Taylor Swift. I know because I was there. We took Soul out of camp in New Hampshire on, I guess that was Friday. Saturday night, we had the huge concert at Gillette Stadium. She was so excited to see Taylor Swift. So we took our 10-year-old, Erica and I did. And I'm telling you, it was magical. It was to see 60,000, I would say of the 60,000, 40,000 were little girls. Huh. Girls between the ages of, say, 6 and 16, all dressed as characters in Taylor Swift's videos, totally plugged in. They all knew the words. All the dads, you know, dorky dads like me sitting there watching all the girls dancing in the aisles and everything. It was so adorable. And I'm telling you, Taylor Swift should run for president. She's so competent. She is so talented. Her message is so positive. Here's one of the things she said. I write songs about things that I find to be romantic and magical. Heartbreak can be romantic. Loneliness can be romantic. Friendship can be romantic. Betrayal can be romantic. But being alone and being okay with that, that's romantic too. In other words, she's telling the girls that they don't, you know, it's not all a fairy tale. But if you work hard, if you have self-confidence, if you're, just a pure heart, it just, I loved her message. Aside from the fact that, she's a terrific performer, writes all her own material. But to see the impact, Noam, that it has on the children, particularly the young girls. The boys were there too, but they were kind of many fewer of them than the girls. And they were kind of rolling their eyes, the little boys were. But the girls were totally into it, totally, you know, sincerely engaged in a way that was so wonderfully positive. The message was positive to the girls. It was, you can do it. And even if you can't do it, that's okay, too. It was just, I just loved it. I'm telling you, I love this person.
You know how huge her star is. I mean, you know, she did two shows here at MetLife Stadium. And that was the same thing, 50,000 seats both times. You could not get a ticket. You know, it was one of those, you knew she could make four or five phone calls and you can find a ticket. Nothing. Zippo. And I'm sure it was the same thing up there. It just shows you how big she is.
We paid. And this is the second now night sold out. It was the first NFL stadium that she ever sold out. This is going back a ways. But to see how they were all into it, and they gave out bracelets that were programmed, so sometimes they lit up red, sometimes they lit up white, and to see the kids, you know, playing, they were Taylor Swift lookalikes. They were.
There
that's
we go.
Better. That's better.
There's a sweet picture of your daughter on Facebook sitting at the concert. I don't know if it's on your page or Erica's page.
Oh, probably Erica's. Yeah. Probably Erica's. So excited too. So excited. That's is that on Facebook? Or?
On Facebook,
okay,
yeah.
Great. Look up Erica Rivera on Facebook. Just, I really can't. A wonderful, wonderful role model. And, you know, in these days when you're just searching for role models, Joe Namath was a role model during his day. He is actually, he's more of a role model now that, you know, he's so straight and so wonderful. And now he's getting involved, I guess, some neighbor children, two 14-year-olds. Missing, lost at sea off Florida's Atlantic coast. What do you know about that?
Yeah, so these two teenagers went out, 14 years old, from South Florida, went on a boating trip. Apparently, they've done this before, and they just didn't come back. They were 67 miles, a boat belonging to them was found 67 miles off Ponce de Leon Inlet in Volusia County. Now, you know these waters better than I do. What's it like to be out there?
Well, you know, a 19-foot open boat being out there. You know, the reason they call the Bermuda Triangle, it's this imaginary line that stretches from Florida to the Bahamas, up to Bermuda, and then back down to Florida. That's the Bermuda Triangle. Because so many boats have been lost there, boats and aircraft, have been lost there mysteriously. But there's no mystery to me, having plied those waters so often, particularly when you remember a 19-foot open boat. What you have there is the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream is a river of warm water where the current runs 5 to 6 knots from south to north. Then you have winds that are almost invariably at odds with the current. Sometimes the winds are southwest. They cross the current. Sometimes they're northeast. They go right into the face of the current. But anyway, very near the Florida coastline. The Florida coastline, you remember the beach is very lovely there, South Beach in the southern part of the state, then coming up here to Volusia County, the central and northern parts of Florida. Lovely, lovely beaches, but you don't have to get more than a couple of hundred meters offshore where the effect of the Gulf Stream is felt. This river of water moving again from south to north. You know, it's warmer than the rest of the ocean, but it causes a lot of turmoil. So no place on earth do you have so much affluence, the ability to buy boats, the relative lack of expertise, put it that way, kindly, to go with the ability to buy a boat, and the peril represented by the water. This is so common. You know, I've plied those waters, as I said, countless hours, and seen this exact example time and time again. Youngsters, usually, sometimes older people who've been drinking or whatever it is. You don't even need to be impaired or particularly youthful, as these kids, they seem to know what they were doing with boats. To get out there, though, in an open boat, so easy to be swamped, so easy to have a wave wash over the boat and wash you off, so easy, you know, to get in trouble. Your engine fails. In this case, the boat had capsized. They found it capsized. So anyway, what is exactly Joe Namath doing about this?
Oh, so the two 14-year-olds live, one of them lives right next door to Joe Namath. So Broadway Joe has offered a $100,000 reward if anybody can get information that leads to finding these two kids. Here he was talking about it yesterday.
The love is there. We're all praying. And Nick, actually, wants the folks to know that are trying to help out, that are out there searching, be very careful. We've got a lot of people out on the water and in the air looking. Both families have been hard at work at this and praying. So let's just stay safe, and we'll keep on looking until we find them.
You have to figure out, though, you have to figure in that unlike someone lost in the woods, once they're lost in the woods, if they hunker down, they're in one place. Every hour, these children, if they are in the water or wearing life vests, I don't know if they found life vests in the vessel or not, but if they're in the water, they are 5 or 6 miles away from where they were an hour ago. An hour ago. In other words, they've moved 5 to 6 miles. They find things that wash up, that are overboard in the Gulf Stream off the coast of Florida. They find them sometimes in North Carolina. Sometimes they find them in England because the river never stops. It never pauses. It's constantly moving. So I God bless Joe for offering the $100,000 reward. Unless they have life jackets, They will never be found, obviously. And if they do have life jackets, you know, that's it's a rough sea. It's a very rough sea. I God bless, wish them the best, but I think you have to fear the worst.
It's been 3 days, by the way. So it was Friday the last time they were seen filling up their tank, tank for the boat in Jupiter, Florida, and they haven't been seen since.
Tom from New Jersey is calling 866 Arella. What's up, Tom? What are you thinking about? You there, Tom? All right, snooze, you lose, buddy. Okay, so politics. I got to get into politics because I've been, even though on this odyssey to go retrieve Soul from camp in New Hampshire, then we brought it to Taylor Swift, then we did all of the, I got to get into politics, but, this is politics. We decided to give her the Freedom Trail tour in Boston.
Oh, that's fun.
So we took her to the Tea Party reenactment.
Uh-huh. You throw the tea into the water?
Everything. Yeah, right. Everything. It was really so, so sweet. And then we went to Paul Revere's house and Bunker Hill and all the rest of it, to the graveyard where many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. But the thing about politics there and political rhetoric in those days, not much has changed. And you know, everybody knows, I'm going to get into what Trump has said and what my other buddy Mike Huckabee have said. But before I do that, there have been various polls released that show Donald Trump is really becoming the man to beat in the Republican primary field. Admittedly, this is hugely early. You're over a year from the election, but you're only less than 2 weeks now before the first debate on Fox News. And Donald Trump is really kicking it. Do you have some Donald opining?
I think they do in the.
We'll figure out who's got what.
Crash has it, no?
Right, as of right now, Trump is leading the Republican field in New Hampshire with 21% of the vote. Jeb Bush down at 14%. So that's New Hampshire. He's also leading substantially in Iowa. He's up to 18% now from 12%. So it's this guy is really, I guess, in Iowa, Trump, Walker is still giving Trump a run for his money. But Trump is really the political story of the day, and it's leading to considerable frustration among the other Republican candidates. And I think it's leading some of them to some intemperate remarks. I'll talk about my friend Mike Huckabee and much more about Trump.
Now, here's what happens with President Walker or President Bush or President Hillary Clinton. If she makes it. No. Well, it's all the same, to be honest with you. It's a system. It's all the same. They may be. I mean, these aren't stupid people. So they probably know that building a $2.5 billion plant in Mexico is not exactly the best thing that can happen to us. So they may even say, let's stop that. They will be bombarded by their lobbyists that donated a lot of money to them. Again, Jeb raised $107 million so far. Okay? They're not putting that money up because it's like a wonderful charity. Although it is a charity, but not for this country, for other countries. They're putting that money. So their lobbyists, their special interests, and their donors will start calling President Bush, President Clinton, President Walker, pretty much whoever is president, other than me. And they'll say, you have to do it. They gave you $1 million to your campaign, and this one gave you five, and this one, you have to do it. You know what he's going to say? Okay, I'll do it. And the plant will be built in Mexico, and we just lost lots of plants all over our country.
All right, Trump hitting, a vein there, just powerfully making the argument that because he is so enormously wealthy, he's beholden to no one, and that's his strong suit. And if the polls are to be believed, again, you have... In Iowa, Walker and Trump kind of head-to-head, well within the margin of error. Walker at 19, Trump at 17. In New Hampshire, you have Trump leading 21%, followed by Jeb Bush at 14%. I swear to God, I was the only Republican in New Hampshire. I was picking Soul up at camp, not running for president. But Trump is clearly putting some distance between him and the other candidates. And Trump is not backing down. Rens Priebus, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, is saying that we should conduct ourselves, candidates, you know, using the Reagan rule, do not speak ill of other Republicans. Trump not heeding that at all. Trump kind of uncensored in what he says. And, you know, sometimes, and you know I've spoken about this, this is no surprise to you, it's very hard when people you're proud to call your friend do or say things that are offensive or embarrassing. And, you know, I've spoken out about how my brilliant former boss on Celebrity Apprentice unnecessarily insulted the entire race of Mexicans, including the 35 million Mexican-Americans, with those sloppy statements about immigrants from Mexico being rapists and drug dealers. Now, he subsequently moderated his statements, as you just heard. He's concentrating more on the economic deficit of the U.S. relationship with Mexico rather than the character of the immigrants. But he still has some way to go to undo the damage done on statements that really sounded very, very harsh. And as did his terribly insensitive statements about Senator John McCain and his revered war record. But, you know, it's almost, you know, thinking back to the scandal that generated, the outrage that generated, that was only a week ago, and it's kind of muted. It's almost like it never happened. I still find it very difficult to bear. And even there, he's retreated somewhat on those statements, but he hasn't clearly apologized to the community of POWs, at least not yet. So Donald is soaring despite his misstatements, at least misstatements as I see them. Some people, I guess, know him, see those statements as right on. Maybe it's fueling some of this one out of every five Republicans jumping on board SS Trump.
Well, I think you hit mostly what it is he's not beholden to anybody. I think a lot of people like that he's not beholden to any interest, and he just says what's on his mind. And for a lot of people, that's kind of refreshing.
But now you have another friend of mine running for president who has made a statement too far. Governor Mike Huckabee. I mean, you have to know this guy. He's one of the nicest men you ever hope to meet. We were colleagues for years, roommates really, at Fox News. Friendly, concerned about others. He's funny, he's sincere, he's competent. He had an enviable record as governor of Arkansas. He's a top-notch broadcaster. He plays a mean guitar. But his statements, ladies and gentlemen, comparing the proposed Iran nuclear deal to the Holocaust, made me gag. Here, play Mike Huckabee's statements
on the Holocaust. This president's foreign policy is the most speckless in American history. He's so naive, he would trust the Iranians, and he would take the Israelis and basically march them to the door of the oven.
March them to the door of the oven? Now, if anything, that statement's even more outrageous than anything Trump ever said. I mean, some things are sacred. I mean, this is even more sacred than the service of the POWs. I mean, if you could compare, if you could even make that comparison, maybe it's even gross of me to try. But the ovens, the Holocaust, something should never be used to score cheap political points. 6 million Jews were murdered in those ovens by the Nazis, the Holocaust. Blood-soaked fascist regime killing half the Jewish population on Earth. It was a monstrous, wicked deed. It will live in infamy. And for Mike to compare the efforts of the Obama administration and the other five world powers to contain and control Iran's nuclear ambitions to the slaughter of the Jews by Hitler? Really? Beyond the pale. It's a cheap rhetorical trick, probably designed to steal some spotlight from the ubiquitous Mr. Trump. The president said it right. He said those statements would be considered ridiculous if they weren't so sad. For shame, Mike. For shame. Great show. And you know, she's like Mick Jagger in the sense that she puts on a much better show than she has to. Really sweating, working it. Great visuals. Cast of thousands. Three opening acts.
Wow.
The kids loved it. Just loved it.
Sounds like you loved it too.
Sea of little girls and dads. I love watching my daughter be happy. That's what I love. More than anything. Okay, here, you know, I spoke earlier before the break about how I thought Governor Mike Huckabee, really, what he did was beyond the pale. It was to compare anything to the Holocaust, unless it's another slaughter of a race of people, is, you should gag on it. It really is absolutely inappropriate. And it shows a kind of a desperation that's so unseemly. It really is so tacky doesn't do it. I mean, it's shameful. It really is shameful. And I really wish, and Mike Huckabee is the nicest guy. He's the kindest guy. His wife, Janet's a terrific person. They are so, you know, considerate and so compassionate. I can only imagine. And he's very smart. And he doesn't say things by accident. Trump, you know, the Mexican immigration things, let's give Trump the benefit of it not being scripted. And he just said it, and maybe he didn't, hopefully he didn't mean it. 866-RALDO, 866-437-2536. I'm going to get to your calls momentarily, but Mike is he's very measured. He's a experienced politician. He's a rhetorician. He's a wonderful pastor. He's a man of faith. He's a good man in every way. I just know that he knew what he was saying when he said it, and he said it because he wanted to drop a bomb that would say to people, hey, what about me? Everybody, they're all so worried about not making that first cut, that cut of 10 to qualify for the Fox debates. Find out, is it August 6th? I think it is.
I think that sounds right. Yeah, right on the bubble. I know that.
He's right there. He's right on the cusp of that. But what he said about, you know, that it's leading Israel to the doors of the oven. I mean, for shame. For shame. That is a shameful thing to say. That the president of the United States is like Hitler. So now the president of the United States is like Hitler. And plus the leaders of Britain and Germany and France and China. And they're all like Hitler. Come on, give me a break. Give me a break. Okay, your turn. What's on your mind here? Let's see. You're going to start with Phil in Queens. Hey, Phil, what's up? What are you thinking?
Hey, Geraldo. Very quickly, you know, I think despite putting his foot in his mouth a couple of times, people like Trump because they feel he's telling them the truth. He's calling it straight. And even on the illegal immigration issue, when he was in Texas, and I've read this before, you know, Texas has been keeping statistics in the criminal records on illegal aliens. And over the past 10 years, there have been 600,000 plus violent crimes and at least 3,000 murders attributed to illegal aliens. So if you extrapolate that across the country, even though most of the immigrants are nice and good and come for the right reasons, you've got a hardcore 3-5, you know, percent that are committing crimes. So why are we putting this gun to our head every year?
All right, I totally disagree about your statistics, but
those are the stats.
Look, all right, the numbers, you know, what are they? Numbers, whatever. Numbers lie, liars.
Tell that to the dead people, yeah,
right.
Geraldo.
Right, you know what? What about every study that has shown that the undocumented immigrants commit far less crimes proportionally than citizens, and a way to make a community safe is to increase the number statistically of the undocumented.
You cannot.
But I mean, what about the Holocaust? I'm talking about the Holocaust. What about the Holocaust? What do you think about that, Phil?
They're not true. I'm an attorney like you are.
All right, but Phil, what about, I'm asking you a specific question. I'm asking you a specific question. You're going to answer it? What about his statements about the Holocaust? About Huckabee's statements about the Holocaust?
I hate when people make that ultimate horrible comparison.
All right, so we're on common ground there. I agree. So let's
we're
stick
in a very dangerous area.
I agree. So let's stick to that issue. I mean, I understand that I will never get a majority of listeners to agree with my position on undocumented. That doesn't make you smart and me stupid or vice versa. It just means we disagree. We see things differently. I think harshness vis-a-vis the border is exactly the opposite to what this country needs. But what you cannot do, we're talking about sloppy rhetoric. You can't say that all Mexicans are rapists and drug dealers. You can't say the POWs were not heroes. And you can never say, ever, if you expect to be taken seriously, that so-and-so or such-and-such is another Holocaust. Because they're maybe the Armenians, that's the closest thing you get to another Holocaust in the industrialized modern era. But, you know, or what maybe Stalin's purges of the tens of millions that he massacred. Maybe that. But even there, I think the Holocaust is preserved because the Holocaust was a uniquely racial event. Hitler was trying to wipe out using the mechanized genius of the Nazi regime and all of the assets and resources and brilliance that they had to exterminate a race of people. To use the comparison of the Holocaust and the ovens, which, you know, start that discussion, my wife starts to tear up 60 years, 70 years later. There's some places you can't go. It's not like the Iran nuclear deal. What perverse extrapolation gets you from the Iran nuclear negotiations to Hitler wiping out half of the Jews of the earth? I mean, I just don't get that. I don't see where you get there. Paul in Queens, what's up, Paul?
Hey, Geraldo. I'm going to mention what Governor Huckabee said is 100% correct. And the reason why, I'll tell you if you don't over-talk on me, the reason why he said that there was a Holocaust is possible is because if you could get the Iranian government to come out to tell us that they don't want to kill Americans and Israelis, that's number one. Number two, for the president to give Iran a nuclear option just to have power when you have...
He's not giving Iran a nuclear option.
Yes,
and even, you know, where do you see that the president of the United States is giving a nuclear option to an enemy country, and he's complicit with or he's in conspiracy with the leaders of these five other major world powers? I mean, where do people see this?
Well, let me explain.
What are you smoking in Queens?
It's
ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Let me explain to you.
You're not going
to
explain to me that it's like the Holocaust.
To you.
That's a foolish statement. It's foolish. Stupid. It's a stupid statement. It is totally inappropriate. It is totally inappropriate. You want to talk to the families, the survivors of the Holocaust with that BS, that crap? Absolute BS. Okay, welcome back. 52 minutes after 10 o'clock. I'm going to take Dominic now in Riga Park. Dominic, thanks for calling 77 WABC. What's up?
You know, you're complaining about Huckabee saying that Iranians can get the nuclear weapon and be leading Jews to the oven door. You can say that, okay? Same way you can say, if you're Trump, okay, Mexicans are rapists, et cetera, okay? But you got to be prepared to pay the consequences for what you're saying. And also, you can't say, though, all lives matter. Look at O'Malley, who's run for president. He got up there and said Black Lives Matter and all lives matter.
What was pathetic there is that he apologized for saying that.
Yeah, but he had to go back and apologize.
That was pathetic that he did.
Absolutely.
He said exactly the right thing, and then he chickened out.
You know what would be pathetic? Trump going back to apologize and the other guy going back.
Don't you think there's a difference?
That's what they believe in. And if you believe in it, you have to be ready to suffer the consequences.
All right. Hold. Yeah, I agree, but I think to compare those statements is wrong. Let me just say very briefly, but I think it should be obvious, isn't it? When you say that Mexicans are they're drug dealers and rapists, it's so absolutely sloppy in terms of the intelligence that goes into the remark, and it is so patently false. When you say that you prefer heroes who aren't captured to POWs who are captured, that's so, it tramples on the things that we revere. We revere courage and sacrifice, and the POWs sacrificed so much. Not only did they go to war, but they were captured and almost invariably abused. I mean, you can't say it's false. When you say, as Governor O'Malley said in Maryland, that all lives matter, and then he apologized for saying all lives matter, that he was chickening out for saying something that was true. He absolutely caved to the militants who were insisting that only specific lives matter, not all lives.
I mean, that was a chickening out that showed a lack of courage, a lack of backbone. It was, you know, for him to back down and apologize for saying that just shows that he's really not worthy in some ways. I mean, he's not apologizing for apologizing, but he shows what kind of character do you have to back down to, you know, to someone who's taking over your podium. Here's Tina in Brooklyn. Hi, Tina. Thanks for calling.
Hey. Hi, good morning, Harold. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm riled up already. I just got here on Monday, but it's already first hour. I'm already riled up.
See that? Well, I'm going to get you even more riled up.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
With all due respect, Harold, though, I got to tell you, the way you've been talking lately about these things, I've come to the conclusion that you are totally out of touch with the American people. You think you know it all. You think you know it. You don't have a clue. You know, first of all, let me just, I don't want to talk about Huckabee too much. I want to go to Trump, but let me just make a couple of remarks. Now, death to Israel. If there is anybody that Iran hates more than America, it's Israel. Everybody knows that. So he said.
Do you think that Iran is unique in that?
I think Iran is on steroids about it. If there are others that hate them as much.
How about Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Al-Shabaab and all those other Saudi Arabian-sponsored groups?
But we're talking about Iran right now. And you know what? I would like Netanyahu has perhaps not invoked the Holocaust and said it exactly like that.
I think you're sicking your dog on me.
I know. I'm tempted. No, I won't. I know you're not.
See that? See that, Tina? You joked, but I think you revealed something about your true feelings for me.
No.
I got to let you go, honey. Amount of time. You can call back next hour if you want to. You know, that's like, give me a break. I mean, everybody shouting death to Israel. You think the Pakistanis with their atomic bomb, you think they love Israel? Hall of Fame weekend. I mean, I'm loving A-Rod. And he may never get into the Hall of Fame. A man whose performance on the field has been so magnificent, but tainted by the juice. He and the all-time home run leader, Barry Bonds, may never get there. So sad. But today's his 40th birthday. And he's still hitting home runs. I was so happy when he hit the three of them on Saturday. Just fantastic.
Yeah.
He's got great numbers. Talking about numbers, by August the 4th. So what is August the 4th? Today is what? Today's the 27th? All right. So you're basically talking about next Tuesday. So by next Tuesday at 5 p.m., Fox News will lock in the participants in the August 6th, it's a week from Thursday, for the August 6th debate. So you've got to be in the top 10 to qualify. So right now you've got, the top eight are pretty solid. They've got the 2.8%. You got Christie there, Christie's got 2.8% right now, consensus of the polls. Then you got Rick Perry, John Kasich, Carly Fiorina, Rick Santorum, Bobby Jindal. You know, you've got the whole bunch of them. So you got the highest is Donald Trump at 18.2%. Isn't that amazing? And then the lowest of the top eight, Ted Cruz, has 5.4, and then the other guys. So, but if you're from Chris Christie on down, Christie, Perry, Kasich, Fiorina, Santorum, Jindal, Pataki, they're going to be in the second tier. They're going to be discarded. I think that it's over for them as of next week. So the first big cut comes next Tuesday. And then they'll be down from 16 down to 10 effectively. Yes, some will hang in there, but they have virtually no chance to raise money. But even among the top eight, the people who will surely be on the stage, you have folks like Governor Mike Huckabee, and he will be with me tonight.
Oh, really?
On the 5, Mike Huckabee will be appearing in the first 15, 20 minutes of the program. And I will tell him, as a friend, exactly what I've said on this microphone here at 77 WABC, that his comments comparing the Iran nuclear deal, the proposed deal, to the potential Holocaust, leading Israel to the doors of the oven, were way out of line. They were beyond the pale. They were absolutely insufferable and inappropriate.
Can you play it one more time? Do you have it, Crash? Because I wonder if you had taken one part out, if it wouldn't be as offensive. Do you have it there, Crash?
All right, we're going to play. I'll take a call. We'll hear Huckabee one more time. You got it?
This president's foreign policy is the most speckless in American history. He's so naive, he would trust the Iranians, and he would take the Israelis and basically march them to the door of the oven.
Oh, yeah. I thought there was maybe an out for him there, but there really isn't when I listened to it a second time.
There is none. Yeah, the director of international affairs for the Anti-Defamation League is saying that Huckabee must apologize. And the Jewish establishment is now, because it's Monday, they're coming up to speed now. By the end of the day, I think that all of organized Jewry, I'm not talking about the hard right-wing Sheldon Adelson folks, but all of the mainstream organizations, I believe, ADL leading the way now. And my late lamented father-in-law was a prominent member of that. There are some things you cannot say. There's some places you cannot go. And then to try to defend it by rationalizing that Iran's rhetoric about Israel, destroy Israel. Please, if every Islamic organization, institution, or government that condemned Israel was said Israel, is going to the world Satan along with the United States. I mean, please. Are we going to be them now? Is that it? We're going to be, I tell you what, we're going to match them. Now we're going to say death to Iran. We're going to say that the deal is like the President Obama is like Hitler. I mean, come on, ladies and gentlemen. However much you want to defeat the Democrats, you think this is the way to do it? Using this kind of language? You think that the Obama administration is like Hitler? Really? PJ in New Jersey, what are you thinking about, PJ? Thanks for calling 866-Geraldo, 866-437-2536. What's up, PJ?
Hey, Geraldo, welcome back. Hope you had a good time with your family.
Oh, it was wonderful. Thank you.
I just wanted to say, I think all Huckabee's statement was a cheap way to get voters. I was going to say, all that was missing out of his clip was he's not putting Obama to Hitler. He should have put him as Chamberlain.
Chamberlain was appropriate. Chamberlain, peace in our times, appeasement. That at least it's a stretch, but at least I agree.
Before you asked the question, Iran is a state-sponsored terrorism who are shouting death to Israel, death to America. I have no doubt that now that we are helping them enrich uranium, they would have no problem selling it to Al-Qaeda, ISIS, to do their dirty work with.
Well, I totally disagree with that.
I totally disagree.
First of all, Al-Qaeda and ISIS are Sunni groups. Iran is the heart and soul of their enemy. It's the Shiite government of Iran versus Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Al-Shabaab, right. Taliban. These are all Sunni groups. I just think that we got it wrong. And no government's going to sell nuclear material. What happens if an A-bomb goes off? An A-bomb goes off in Grand Central Station. What do you think happens there? Where does the world go from there? You think they negotiate from there? It's so totally, recklessly irresponsible. Just can't say some things. Ilan, he's our expert in matters do Hebraic. What up?
No. Far, far, far away from it. Before I'm going to some heavy stuff, okay, did you enjoy your sailboating this week?
This week I was not sailboating. I was at a Taylor Swift concert with my 10-year-old.
Okay, well, you missed the good weather.
And the only ship I was on was the one of the replicas of the cargo vessels that carried the tea that the Patriots dumped in 1773, which ignited the fuse that caused the Revolutionary War. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, listen, okay, I'm far from being an expert, okay? I'm just a simple-minded person, okay? And as I told you...
Wait, Eli, I've got to say something. When Jewish people say that, they're about to lay on some really deep philosophical stuff. So we appreciate the self-deprecation, but go ahead.
Well, listen, okay, you had a nice entrance to this phone call before you were known after the news. So, I mean, you take your part here too, okay? So it's okay, no problem, okay? I understand. But my point is simple, okay? First, I like to... say that I have a lot of sympathy to your wife, Erica, about being emotional about the Holocaust. I'm saying it because I had family of mine that perished in the Holocaust. I have friends, their family or part of the family perished in the Holocaust. So this is a very close and very dear subject to my heart, okay? Saying all this, okay, I like to say something that I do agree with Governor Huckabee, okay? And my point is simple, okay? If you are watching and listening to what comes out of Iran, and I'm not talking about President Rouhani and his foreign minister and everybody there. I'm talking about the top persons, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, okay? The Ayatollah Ali Khamenei never changed, okay? He still calls for the destruction of Israel. He still reveres the United States as an enemy, and he calls it the arrogant enemy of the world here. You know, their whole process, how they go about things here, okay? They never change here. And if you... Okay, maybe it's difficult to understand here, okay, but Iran, it's not the U.S., okay? It's a dictatorship. It is run by this person with his guard, and they are running the tone, and they never changed here, okay?
Are they Hitler? Are they Hitler? Is there any evidence that the Iranians and this ancient, however misguided they have been since 1979, this ancient culture, that they are genocidal, that they want to wipe out a whole race of people because of their religion? Do you really believe that the United States of America would be complicit in that? That's what Mike said. He said is that this deal is leading Israel to the doors of the oven. Now, when I say it, and I think of my relatives and Erica's relatives and your relatives and Noam's relatives who perished in that attempt to wipe out the whole... Come on. There's some things that you cannot say, some places you cannot go. And that's Geraldo, one of them.
Geraldo, can I respond, please?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay. You know, in the history of the Jewish people, okay, there were all kind of many times in history, and we go way, way past the Second World with the Nazis. There were all kind of people that came before, and, you know, and their objective was to eliminate, to destroy and do away with the Jewish people, okay? You can go all the way down to the Romans. You want to go further, you can...
All right, Eli, it's getting too deep into the history here.
And all this, okay.
I think that the systematic eradication of Jews was unique to the Nazis. The Russian pogroms wanted to kick them out. All the other, what the British did and the Spanish Inquisition and all that, they wanted to kick them out. Only the Nazis used the power of an industrialized society to systematically eradicate the entire race of European Jews, and they almost succeeded. They wiped out half the Jews on earth. The president of the United States is not Hitler, and anyone who even makes an allusion to that being a possibility should gag on it. It is absolutely, and I will say that to Mike's face tonight, it is absolutely unacceptable.
Boy, the show's going by fast.
Sure has.
It is like speeding by.
Here's Vince in New Jersey. What's up, Vince? What are you thinking about today?
Yeah, good morning. You know what? I don't even want to get into Huckabee. You said he's a nice guy. He misspoke, whatever.
He is a nice guy. He's a very, very nice guy.
All right, so I want to get into the actual deal. And let's talk about who Iran is, what they're getting, and what we're getting out of this deal. First of all, they're the number one exporter of terrorism. It's them that said they want
to. I don't know where people get that from. I don't know where that comes from. Who says that other than, you know, the hard right that want to scuttle the deal?
Okay, then we could disagree on that, but they trade freely.
But wait, hold it, Vince. Hold it. I'm going to put you on pause. I'm going to allow you to say everything you want to say, but let me just rebut that statement about Iran being the number one sponsor of terror in the world. Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Al-Nusra, the Taliban, all Sunni Muslim extremist groups, the people cutting off heads, burning prisoners, drowning prisoners, occupying Syria and Iraq, those are Sunni militant extremists, the people who are self-motivating here, the kid in Chattanooga that killed the six service members, Sunni Muslim extremists. They are not following the ISIS, the Sunni Muslim extremist websites. Iran is Shiite. It's different. They're not the number one sponsors of terror. If you want to talk about the number one sponsor of terror, it is Saudi Arabia. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, you mentioned groups of people. You did not mention a country, and that's what I'm talking about. Iran and North Korea trade freely. There's missiles going back and forth, but let's move on to the next point. We also know that they get 150 or more billions of dollars that they don't have now. Then they get to trade with the rest of the world. In the meantime, they're laughing at us. They're burning Obama in effigy. They're blowing up U.S. aircraft carriers. They're continuing to spew all the hatred they have for Israel and the Israeli state. At the same time, we get nothing. They're laughing at us in the negotiations. They said they're not going to change their policy, which is not an opinion. It's a policy of their country. They're not changing anything.
So what would your policy be, Vince?
Leave it where it is right now. You know what we have right now? We have a country that's isolated. They can't trade.
The other partners in this deal are ending the embargo no matter what. They've already signed off on it. Britain, Germany, France, Russia, China. So it's going to be an embargo.
Oh, you know,
it
may
be like Cuba.
We'll have to see what happens. But I'll tell you what. If you give them $150 billion and you allow them to trade, maybe they won't get nuclear materials, but they're going to get everything else they need to build it. It's just like North Korea. Bill Clinton sent Jimmy Carter over to North Korea to build nuclear plants. Next thing you know, they have nuclear weapons. So now they want, you know, they have the biggest supply of oil of any.
Didn't the North Koreans get it from the Pakistanis? The North Koreans got it from the Pakistanis, as I remember.
But we gave them, Jimmy Carter went over there and gave them the equipment they needed to build a centrifuge, to have all these things that they need to build it. Jimmy Carter, the man of peace. And now we have the same thing going on with Obama. There is no reason for us to have started. And you said all these countries have released it. You know, they're going to give up on all the sanctions. Well, that's because Obama started the road on that. What did we get in return? Tell me what we're getting in return.
You inspections, you get the 10 years and the 15 years, and nobody who is opposed to the deal has come up with a better deal. I haven't heard anybody.
We
just want to continue sanctions that aren't going to work.
Let's make a deal. So now we have no deal with North Korea.
And to compare it to the Holocaust, you can argue the
We're not talking about the Holocaust.
You got to talk about what I'm talking about because it's my damn show. Jesus. Jesus. We're going to redebate the Iran nuke deal. We're going to redebate it. It's all going to come down to Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer, because the president needs two-thirds of, you got to override two-thirds of Congress. All right? You got to override a two-thirds vote. In other words, they have to get two-thirds to beat you to override a veto. So he's got to keep one-third of the people who back his deal, the president does. So it's going to come down to prominent Democrats like Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer, who is Jewish, who represents New York. It's all going to be, now Chuck Schumer, is he going to be a loyalist to the Obama administration? Or is he going to chicken out or cave? Or does he sincerely believe as Mike Huckabee does, that the president of the United States is so recklessly irresponsible, so desperate for a deal, that he's leading Israel to the doors of the oven.
You talk too much, you even worry my pet. You just talk, talk too much.
Sending this out to my former sweet mate, my colleague, my weekend co-anchor, the Reverend, the Governor, Mike Huckabee, following in the tradition of Donald Trump, definitely talking too much trash, very sloppy with the analogies, the metaphors, the comparisons. The Anti-Defamation League just coming out and saying that the comments are totally inappropriate and outrageous. Mike Huckabee should apologize. Where are we heading with this? You know, every time, who have we not mentioned today? Who have we not mentioned? We're talking about presidential politics. Who have we not mentioned?
We haven't mentioned Jeb Bush today.
Well, Jeb Bush, that's very telling.
I don't think we really talked about Scott Walker at all today. I mean,
Keep going.
We haven't talked about Rand Paul today.
Keep going.
We haven't talked about Chris Christie today.
Well, we talked a little bit about him screwing up the trains, but go ahead.
Bobby Jindal. We haven't mentioned Bobby Jindal.
Well, we did mention that he put his campaign on hiatus to deal with that awful shooting.
Lindsey Graham. We haven't talked about him today.
Well, you're right, and Lindsey's my man, looking a little better. I think he'll make the cut for sure.
You do?
No. I do.
Really? Okay. Well, you better surge awfully soon if he's going to make the cut.
No, I think he's... doesn't he have like two...
No, he has 0.2% in that CNN poll.
0.2%?
Yes, 0.2%. Of 0.2%. Wait, I can make sure that
I guess it's not happening.
Yeah.
But you're missing my headline.
Who's that?
Who have we not talked about is Hillary Clinton.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Hillary Clinton with the soaring negatives, with Senator Bernie Sanders mounting a credible campaign with the, on Fox News, they love Bernie Sanders. And, they love him apparently wherever he goes. He's drawing bigger crowds than she is. I think that he's probably not going anywhere, but they said that about Trump. who's singing that song now? And by putting all that, that's the one thing that that Trump may be doing that could be the most irretrievable or irreparable harm. He may be making the other GOP candidates seem so insignificant, incompetent, business as usual, that there may not be much left. I mean, he could be soaring. This could be the beginning of a real national movement. I'm just saying. Just bear with me for a second. People say that, no, it's the usual 25%. John McCain called them crazies. Maybe. But, you know, in New Hampshire is a pretty sober place. I just left there. I mean, they love guns and, you know, the outdoors and fierce independence and live free and die or die and all the rest of that. But, I mean, 18% in that crowded field, that's not Swiss cheese. You know, that's something happening. Something happening there. All right, Frankie in Brooklyn. What's up, Frankie?
Good morning, Geraldo. How are you?
Thank you for calling.
Oh, my pleasure. Actually, I wanted to ask you, did you ever see The Godfather?
Of course, many times.
Great. You know when Michael said to Maya about how the lieutenant got blown up by the rebel with the hand grenade because they have nothing to lose? Nothing to lose. Iran is not the United States. It's not people get up 9-to-5 jobs. They've got, what do they got? To them, dying is a privilege. Dying is an honor. They're going to get all kinds of women.
I don't think that's true. You don't see Shiite suicide bombers. You don't see Shiite. I mean, there was an attack in 1983 in the Marine Corps barracks in Lebanon. I know because I covered it. And that was a Shiite suicide bomber. Since then, Name another. I don't know that's true. And to say that the Persian people, the Iranian people, don't care about life, I think you got it wrong. I think you got it mixed up. I think if you want to look at the people for whom heaven is everything, look at the Wahhabists. You know, these are sects of Sunni Muslim. I'm sorry, if there's a scholar out there on Islam, school me on this. Because maybe I have something wrong. But it's like Protestants and Catholics.
There's a difference between Protestants and Catholics, and for centuries, they fought each other bitterly. And more blood was spilled over that distinction between Protestants and Catholics than any other cause until you got to the 20th century and these awful ideological fanatic pursuits that slaughtered, you know, entire half of nations. But I've never seen Iran being associated, like, with Iran. That they're going to snuff out 5,000 years of history with the atomic bomb for spite because they hate America? I mean, I think that the problem is so many people are getting all of their information about the Iran nuclear deal from these obnoxious public service announcements that have lavishly funded by Sheldon Adelson and these others. And it's all about how awful the Iran nuclear. And you don't see comparable ads promoting the deal. So you're seeing a one-sided, very anti-intellectual. It's Iran is the devil, and it's so bad that they're looking to top each other. Who could say the worst things about Iran? And then finally Huckabee says it when he says that Obama, the president of the United States, is leading Israel to the ovens, the door of the ovens.
Can I say something? You know, we're saying about Senator Schumer, that he's going to be the key guy in this. I disagree with you. You know why? Because it's such a volatile argument for him with his voters here in New York, that they're going to let him off the hook. He's going to do the behind-the-scenes pushing people to approve this deal. And if they need his vote, then he'll gulp and he'll vote in favor of it. But if they don't need his vote, he will vote against it because he'll need that when comes time, election time, it'll all come back to him.
Who's going to beat Schumer in New York?
I don't know, but I think they're going to let him off the hook. They're going to say, hey, okay, you do the behind-the-scenes rallying, and we let you off the hook. You vote against this.
I think that if it is as you describe it, then he's certainly not a profile in courage, is he? So he does all of the behind-the-scenes machinations, and then if you need one more vote, he'll hold his nose and vote.
I think that's exactly the way it's going to go down.
Well, I still think he's the key. He's the key. Won't either backstage or on stage, Chuck Schumer is the and the other prominent liberals, they're the key. Here's John in Oyster Bay. What's up, John?
Good morning. Well, I called about Mike Huckabee. I just wanted to mention something. Noam Layden mentioned something on the 11 o'clock news. In defense of Bill Cosby, he admitted to giving him Quaaludes. It makes it sound like those are not a knockout date rape drug, okay? So, yeah, I mean, that's unfair.
I have some familiarity with the 70s.
And yeah, Quaaludes. Quaaludes is a sedative. I think you can count Quaaludes.
I thought Quaaludes were great. I mean, to the extent I remember them.
It releases inhibitions.
Right. It's a serotonin.
So doesn't a sedative do the same thing?
No, sedative.
Talk to Ron Kuby about that because he spoke about that a couple of weeks ago.
Kuby would remember.
He's not
to the extent that he remembers. I agree with you. Quaaludes are not Mickey Finns. They are absolutely
not. It's unfair. Whatever his sins were, I don't think.
But isn't that impressive when you see the cover of New York Magazine? You see 35 of the victims all sitting there clothed in white. I mean, they can't all be exaggerating, can they?
No, but I'm guessing a lot of that was consensual. Look, the guy obviously was a libertine. I'm not defending that, but I'm an old school person. I'm from another era, so I mean,
John, you want to talk us about your own Quaalude experience?
I never, believe it or not, strongest thing I ever did was pot, and that was years ago, and it wasn't as strong as it is now. I called about Mike Huckabee, though. I think you're dead wrong on that, Geraldo. And I'm talking, I'm not a Jew, but my Jewish friends refer to me as a good Jew. I was at that rally last Wednesday, and he did not compare Obama to Hitler, but his policies are so incompetent, so inept, that it's going to have the same result. That they, you talk about Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab, and they don't have nukes. Iran is going to get them. And do you really think giving them $150 billion?
Where are they getting $150 billion? Where does that number come from?
We're releasing funds.
We're not holding anywhere near $150 billion. It's a ridiculous amount.
It's $150 billion, which is trillions in Iranian. And where do you think that's going to go? That's going to go to Hezbollah and Hamas.
Hamas is Sunni.
Talking about Schumer, somebody at the rally mentioned the other day, he will go down in Jewish history as either Queen Esther or Hagar. I'm sure you know the story from the old. So he's in a difficult position.
It's Purim?
He has a choice now of being Purim, a politician
or a state. Purim is, April?
Yeah, something like that, March or April.
But this deal...
Well, John, I think you should get circumcised.
This deal is so outrageous and so...
You think that Schumer is what? Or you think, the deal is so outrageous.
The deal was so outrageous. It's incomprehensible.
And so why did Britain, France, Germany, why did Britain, France, and Germany think it's a good deal?
Or the best possible deal? 70 years ago, Germany, France and Britain were down the same road, and that's why they had the Holocaust. So I don't put a lot of stock in their judgment.
And Russia and China too.
What? No, certainly not. They want to do. They're dying to do business with Iran. They cannot wait to start. And by the way, they're making ICBMs. You notice the I in that stands for intercontinental. That means Europe and the United States. And they made no bones. They want to blow Israel off the map.
What happens if Iran blows Israel off the map? You ever think about that? What happens?
So, what was that?
What happens if Iran launches a nuclear strike against Israel? What happens
they
to the
care.
Earth?
They want to bring in the 12th of March. Do you listen to what these guys are saying? They're waiting for the 12th of March.
You ever see the Shahs of Sunset Strip?
Sure.
Those are all Persians. Those are all Shiites. What they want is like fancy cars and nice houses. They want a Rodeo Drive. That's what they want. They don't want to blow up the earth. They're business people. I mean, I don't want to paint an idyllic picture. I can't characterize an entire nation. I'm not going to make that generalized kind of stereotypical statement. But to say that they're all mullahs who want death to America in a literal sense, they want to be in America. They want to eat McDonald's and watch the Playboy Channel. Not all.
I think that all maybe might be correct.
Ralph on Long Island, let me squeeze in a couple of calls. You're up. Thanks for calling 866-HERALDO. What's up, Ralph?
Yes, hi. I don't want you to be too perplexed about the phenomenon of Donald Trump. America has been waiting for this for a long time, and even New Yorkers, who are usually, leftist, are calling you by the ton. So, and the other thing I want to mention to you is...
That's true. They are calling me by the ton about Trump. You just mention his name and the switchboard lights up. That's, I'll tell him when I see him. But go ahead,
Ralph. And one other point I want to make. You mentioned about reporters, not only reporters, but candidates, potential candidates, saying things that they don't say properly and clear. When you report on Trump, you refer to him as saying Mexicans are rapists, drug dealers, and this and that. He never said Mexicans are those things. He carefully stated that some, okay, and you twist it by not saying the word some when you report it.
Okay, Ralph. People can hear the exact quote on their own. Yeah, but you must play that thing. And some, I assume, are good people. That's where the some came in. Go ahead, Ray in Queens. What's up, man? You're the last call of the day. What's on your mind, buddy?
Oh, Ronaldo. I've been following you all your life, and I woke up this morning, put on your radio, and I said, Geraldo just became a Democratic left-winger.
And what point exactly was the Democrat or left-wing?
Being
in favor of the Iran nuclear deal?
Yeah, you sound like an apologist for the Obama administration.
Oh, because he's not Hitler?
Obama is not Hitler.
Oh, thank you. God, thank you.
What he is a Muslim in sheep's clothing.
Ah, I knew we'd get to some ad hominem attack. But the president, you know what we didn't do today? We should have done it today. We'll do it tomorrow. Some of the president's jokes about his birth certificate, because he was in Kenya this weekend. He's in Africa. Is he home yet? I don't even know.
I don't think he is, no.
Yeah, getting home soon. So he was in Ethiopia, first president ever to visit Ethiopia, I believe. But he was in Kenya, where his father's birthplace, and he joked about looking for his birth certificate there in Kenya. I was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, where Donald Trump was also there, going back a year. Not this last one, the one before that. And he went after Trump. It was unbelievable. His jokes about Trump were so cutting that you could see how Trump could really be pissed off. And that mockery may have been one of the factors in Trump actually throwing his hat in the ring and going for it, because it was ruthless. The president really tore him up.